Prison over whatever troubles, whatever situation that we're going through, so we don't have to be perplexed. Praise the Lord. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Of the Lord's appearing and working salvation, both in temporal and spiritual sense, which is the Lord is risen. We don't have to be without hope when we're perplexed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God is awesome all the time. Night, birth, persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh my Lord, persecuted from place to place, followed with menaces, curses, and reproaches, laid hold on, proscribed, imprisoned, threatened with the various tortures and death itself. But our God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Though we are followed close by evil men and left by our friends, we are not forsaken of God. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord will never leave nor forsake us. Praise the Lord. And we're cast down. We are sometimes in this earthen vessel. We may be cast out of man's hands in order to be dashed to pieces. Or as a man in wrestling, we may be thrown to the ground by his antagonist. So we are sometimes followed by sin, Satan, and the world, but not destroyed. We might be cast down, but not destroyed. We are safe in the hands of Christ and are kept by the power of God. And indeed, to what else can all this be ascribed? It is surprising that earthen vessels should bear and suffer so much and not fall or be dashed to pieces. Amen, amen. Always bearing about in the body or our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We remember that the Lord was crucified, but yet he rose again on that third day. And so we remember that God already, he took our suffering. Praise the Lord. And so that way we can endure whatever we might have to go through with. Praise the Lord. He will lift us above all of that. And besides, he already, the battle is already won. Amen. So as long as we live, he said, for which we live, we are still in the land of the living. Though it is almost a miracle that we are, considering the circumstances we're in. But yet, and knowing that we are always delivered, we are continually exposed to death for Jesus' sake. And the end of all these sufferings, which is expressed alike in both verses, is that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body or in our mortal flesh. Amen. It means that it might appear that Jesus, though he died, is risen again from the dead and lives at the right Father's right hand, and ever lives to make intercession for us, on which there is a full proof, inasmuch as we are supported by him under all the trials and sufferings we endure for his sake. Because he lives, we live also amidst so many dangers and deaths which attend us. Because he lives, we live. Praise the Lord. As Apostle Paul wrote Galatians 2:20, we used to quote it all the time when we're going through trials and situations. You give us a triumph in all our trials. We will memorize Galatians.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to turn our attention to your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your amazing grace. We wouldn't be here today. You brought us through seen and unseen dangers. For that we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Lord, speak to us through your word and minister to us right where we are, Lord. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. A.B., we're going to continue to clear out this sound, get some of the reverb out so that it's as natural as we possibly can until we reach that perfect mark as we can. All right. Turn your Bibles, because we're getting reverb back here on the back end back here. The late Dr. C.A.W. Clark said, if it's anything worth saying, it's worth saying well.
Amen.
And being heard well. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'll read it.
2 Corinthians. Yeah. Mike? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a relevant word. What a powerful word. What a necessary word for the believer. Paul brings this word not only to the church at Corinth, but to all of the believers in Christ Jesus to understand that there are some things we must realize as relate to the battles that we face in the flesh and in the spirit. Yeah, yeah. When you look at Paul and all that he has gone through, he has literally fought on both sides. Mm-hmm. Paul has been one who has dealt with the issues of the flesh, the issues of the spirit. He has fought against God, and he's fought for God. Amen. He's one who understood the battles of the natural and of the supernatural. And he imparts this understanding for the believer so that we will understand how to be successful in warfare. He's dealing with Corinth, and in verses 1 and 2, there is a boldness that Paul exudes talking to the Corinthians and helping them to understand his position and his power and his authority. And yet in verses 3 through 6, he deals with battles that we're going to deal with and be confronted with, and how to handle them, and what we use as our warfare. And then verses 7 through 11, he talks about building. And you go through there and you read those verses, he's dealing with the atmosphere and the understanding of building up. But then verse 12 through 18 deals with boasting. And when Paul talks about these things, he makes it clear how the believer should understand the realities of our blessings in Christ, our authority in Christ, that we really don't have anything to boast about but in the Lord. Amen. And so when we go back into this word and we look at verse 3, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, this is simple, because what he's literally saying is, even though we are human and we are in this world, we are flesh and blood, we must remember that the battles we truly fight are not flesh and blood battles, but they are spiritual battles. But we do not fight after the flesh. In other words, when we realize that those of us who get caught up in the physical fight, the flesh and blood fight, are really just pawns, we're being used so that those that are higher and greater use us to do the fighting for them in the flesh, while they sit back in cushioned chairs and strategize about what they want the end to be. In other words, when you get down to the flesh and blood fighting, you're just a footman.
Amen.
You're just a soldier on the field fighting flesh and blood. But listen to this, you can't kill the enemy in the flesh. Because he's trying to get us to understand that there is a spirit that controls the supernatural. And when you fight in the flesh and you hurt one another in the flesh, you have not done nothing to the spirit. And if that person you're fighting against
dies, that spirit comes out of that person and gets into somebody else. So you really haven't killed the enemy. So then he begins to tell us, listen, for our weapons are not carnal. These are not guns and knives and machetes and all other physical forms of weaponry. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, if you're going to kill the enemy, you don't need to look for something in your hand. Because your real enemy isn't someone you can see. He's just the one the real enemy is using. And so one of the things that you got to realize is, again, for he makes clear, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Here's the purpose now. To the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, when you really begin to start fighting battles that matter, it's going to be done in the spirit. It's going to be done where you are not talking flesh and blood, but you're talking about supernatural and spirit. You are talking about something far greater than flesh and blood and temporal. You're talking about spiritual things. You see, that's why the enemy wants us to stay carnal. Because if we stay carnal, we're going to act carnal. We're going to get in the flesh and we're going to respond in the flesh. And if we respond in the flesh, then what we do is get down on a fleshly level, and ain't no good thing in the flesh. See, because this flesh is very limited, and if I don't keep my mind stayed on Jesus and I get in the flesh is liable to do anything, to say anything, to act any kind of way, and before long not be here. So we've got to learn to fight the enemy on the real battleground, in the spirit realm, in our minds, in the place where we cannot see the actual physical flesh and blood of the enemy. But we've got to know where he is. Yes. Paul says, Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen at that. Four categories: principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Where did you see flesh and blood at? And most of our fights are with flesh and blood. When the enemy comes at us, he usually does it through flesh and blood. While his greatest attacks are in the spirit realm, we don't recognize it till he puts a face on it. And you're still blaming somebody else for what you have not gotten and for where you have not arisen to, and for what has been taken from you, and for this and for that. You're still blaming some flesh and blood and not seeing the power behind that.
Amen.
You're blaming the wrong persons. You've got to take it higher into the spirit realm. Don't be sucked into the flesh. Because in the flesh, you get weak. You can only take so many of certain words being called. You get tired of being this and tired of being, I'm gonna be one more. Call me that one more time and I'm gonna show you what whatever that is you calling me is. See, but that's when you get to the flesh, when you let it get you to that place where you're sucked into the flesh and blood warfare. You another one, your mama and all the rest of that. Oh, somebody gonna have some issues when you get into it on that level. And that's why it's important to recognize we've got to have the whole armor of God on. The whole armor, because it's spiritual warfare. The problem on your job really ain't your co-worker. It's really not your boss. It's a spirit. You see, you've got to realize that God has promised you some things. And spiritualness, wickedness in high places is preventing those things, setting up blockades to keep you from. It ain't really man or woman stopping you. It's the enemy. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to be well armored so that those darts don't stick in you and poison your mind and your thoughts and your mouth, and before, instead of praying, you're cursing. Amen. You got to fight it in the spirit realm. Listen at this. When you recognize you are well suited for battle, again, Ephesians 6 and 12. And then when you start in verse 16 and 17 with those weapons that prepare you now for the offensive attack, you're going to realize, my brothers and sisters, that all of that puts you in position for spiritual attacks. Or let me put it this way, for you to be able to offensively attack. All of the rest of that gear you had was for defense. And see, one of the problems with believers is they don't even know how to wear the defensive armor to keep from being messed up, to even get to the point where they're able to use the offensive, which is the sword, which is the word of God. They don't know how to carry that shield of faith. They don't know how to have on that breastplate of honor, armor. They don't know how to have anything that protects them until they're ready to go. But when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he used the sword of the word to fight the enemy. And when you see that, learn that, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. And when he went on the offensive, verse 18 of Ephesians 6 talks about what he did. All prayer and supplication was done in the spirit, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Why must, when you are prepared and you're doing spiritual warfare, why must you pray in the spirit? Because that's where the battle is. Amen. You can't see the spiritual enemy around you, but you could see when he's invaded physical form. And so when your spirit prays with the spirit of the living God, he feeds you information underneath the skin about the activities of the enemy around you. And when you begin to realize, when you're praying in the spirit, God begins to reveal certain things about certain people and about certain situations and about things that are happening or getting ready to happen. And he puts you in a winning situation. Because you're getting supernatural information imparted in you by the Spirit. You're getting information, downloads constantly. Watch him, he's on your right side, sneaking up behind you. Listen, he's steady looking. He's telling you who the enemy is, where the enemy is hiding, through whom the enemy is speaking. You listen at some folk, and you say, that ain't God. That ain't God. The Spirit of the living God will reveal that that's Satan talking through that person. And you got to know what you're listening at. You got to know what you're looking at. And you can't know it except you're in the Spirit. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All of the physical training, all of the shooting at the range, all of that preparation, all that's for the flesh. But if you're not careful, the enemy can take you out without any of that. And when he does that to you, he's going for the soul. Not just for the flesh and blood, but the deeper things of God in you. Now listen at this. So what must we do? Recognize that it is so that we can pull down strongholds. Now remember, if we're pulling down, that means obviously they're up in the heavenlies. Strongholds that we are to the pulling down means things. What are some strongholds? I'm glad you asked. One of the biggest strongholds is ignorance. God's people perish for what? That's a stronghold in the church. They don't know and they don't want to know. Oh, but we're going to heaven anyhow. Woo! Glory! Really? One of the other ones is prejudice. Prejudice is one of the strongholds. Unforgiveness is one of the strongholds. Deep, dark secrets. Secret sins is a stronghold. They're hidden and they are so secluded and so personal that only a very few folk get to know that part. And so that's where the enemy can hide in your secret places. Y'all getting mighty quiet on me here. When you begin to recognize, to make it as simple and plain as I possibly can, a stronghold is anything that comes against the rightness of God and putting you at odds with it. Anything that leads you in the opposite direction of God, anything that keeps you out of the righteousness of God, anything that challenges your worth with God is a stronghold. Amen. And don't you think you can fight the enemy on your own? People with addictions have strongholds. That's what they are. Strongholds. They hold you strongly. If you could give it up, you wouldn't have been in the mess in the first place. But when you get caught in a stronghold, that means you struggle to get out of it. But even in your greatest struggle, you can't get free from it, because you need a power greater than the power that's holding you in the stronghold. Now look at whatever. We have to cast down imaginations. Now this is really wicked imaginations. These are evil imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when the enemy puts, because he can't make you do anything. Amen. when you're saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. The devil can't make you do anything, but he can put imagination and evil thoughts and wickedness in your thought processes, and you must think on those things.